Today on Real Radio.
When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," what do you think he meant? Stop robbing yourself.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, throughout the centuries of the church age, there have been a whole lot of discussions, debates, if you will, and volumes written on whether or not we can lose our salvation. Did that get your ears perked up? I bet it did. We've all heard the words and phrases like eternal security and once saved, always saved. Well, as the saying goes, it's dangerous to discuss scriptural matters without scripture. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, as he focuses on one key verse in John's letter. 1 John 5:13, it's a lesson called, "That you may know."
What's your problem? Your problem may be of human origin. Well, I was taught this, and I was told this, and after all that, and what does your Bible say? That you may know that you have eternal life. My friend, do you know it? It's neat because he didn't use the word gnosko, which is a great word, but it means to know by experience. He could have used that word and we could have gone on with our study tonight, but he used the word oida. You know that you're a Christian tonight because you have the intuitive knowledge that God says so on the inside. Paul put it this way, "His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a son of God." Again, tonight you may be struggling with the reality of that simply because you need to trust what Jesus says. But if you're struggling with this over a doctrinal issue, then you've been fed some bad food. Assurance, we're to know it. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, "The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, a quiet and a deep assurance forever." That's Isaiah 32, 17. What a great verse. A deep, quiet assurance forever. Isaiah 32, 17. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. Paul says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Paul is saying that when he preached the gospel, he preached it from a position of knowing that he had received from Christ salvation. You guys think, please, if you're struggling with this, think this. You go to work tomorrow, and let's say just for giggles, you work for IBM, and you drive to your parking spot, you go into IBM, you've got your badge, you put it in the door, you punch in your number, you're in the building, they've given you the number. They've given you the job. You've got their badge. And it says, you know, John Jones, IBM. You've got a desk. You've got a phone. You've got an extension. You've got a position. You get a check. And then now it's time for you to fly to Milwaukee because you've got a business meeting and you represent IBM. And so you fly there and you get there. And then they open up the door and you're going to meet with all these people. And you're the IBM man. You're the man in blue. And you sit at the table, and there are people sitting at that table, and their faces turn toward you, and you know what they expect to hear? They expect to hear from you an authoritative delivery about why IBM is the best in the world on this topic, on this issue, and that you'd be going astray if you went with any other company, because we are the pioneers in this. They're expecting a sales pitch. They're expecting to be convinced. If the world schools and makes its people so confident and assured, how would God leave us in some limbo land and then say, "Go out and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit"? You need to go, and I know you're not really fully confident of everything you're talking about, and you kind of you preach, but you don't practice at all. But go tell them that they can be saved forever anyway. I don't get it. I believe that's what makes the new believer so effective, is that they know what they believe, even though they can't even find it in the Bible. They'll get saved on Monday night. They'll go home and tell their brother, and they're botching it all up. They're quoting cockeyed, putting seven verses together, and it's like, whoa, what's he doing? And then he prays, and he leads his brother to the Lord. You go, how did that happen? Spirit of God. David Hume, the atheist man of yesteryear, famous, David Hume went out to see Whitfield, I believe it was, preach. And he had been a long-standing critic of Whitfield, mocking him, making fun of him, putting him down. And then he went out to see what all the hubbub was there in England, and all these thousands of people coming to preach. You can go there today, by the way, a preacher's corner in England. Still, thousands of people there preaching today. I mean, not thousands of people preaching. Maybe 50 people preaching on all the various corners and thousands of people listening to various preachers. And somebody in the crowd recognized David Hume and said, what are you doing here? You don't believe a word that Whitfield preaches. And he says, well, the reason why I'm here, even though I do not believe a word in what he preaches, the reason why I'm here is because he believes every word he preaches. A Christian who cannot preach or speak with conviction isn't worth his weight in salt. You say, well, Jack, I can't share with that kind of confidence. That's why we're talking tonight together. These things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. Man. Nothing else really is that big of a deal once you get that in your heart. The doctor can come up and say, hey, you're looking pretty sickly. I don't think you're long for this world. Well, hallelujah, doc. You know, when it comes down to statistics, it's pretty convincing. 10 out of 10 people die. You're not long for this world either, doctor. And where are you going to go when you die? That doctor could say, but I don't have cancer. I don't have what you've got. And that doctor could mock you, get in his Mercedes-Benz, and meet up with a Santa Fe Railroad. It's going to happen. Hey, we're all punching out sooner or later. It's just the poor Christian gets labeled oftentimes as a morbid person. It's like, sooner, 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 Lord. You know? Paul, I love Paul. Look, he tells of himself being caught up into heaven. He sees heaven. And then he later on tells the church, he says, listen, I have this passion in my heart to go home and be with Jesus Christ. I'd like to go today. Unfortunately, because you need me, I'll stay. That's what Paul told them. That's a great way to live. Now, I've got young, I think they're young. They think they're older, but I've got kids. And I love them, and I want to see, you know, and they're getting older. So I'm thinking, man, I'd like to have grandkids like next week. That'd be very cool. Because, you know, they're big enough now you can't hug them and squeeze them. They're like pushing you away, you know. And that hurts, you know, but you know, you remember doing that. Your mom and dad remember. It's like, Mom, drop me off 3 miles from the corner, will you? Remember that? Don't you? It's parents. But as time goes on, that changes, you know, and they start to experience life. It's like 20s to mid-20s. They start thinking, gosh, you know what? Dad wasn't that stupid after all. Have you noticed the older you get, the smarter your parents become? Well, in this relationship that we have with the Lord, He wants us to be fully assured. And my friend, if you're tiptoeing in your salvation, you're not happy. I can guarantee you that. You are not happy. I personally believe, I don't think we're going to find happiness anywhere outside of Jesus Christ, but I think this is the key. If you're not secure in Christ, you're not going to be secure in anything, and you're going to go from experience or relationship to experience and relationship. But this one who we claim to bow our knee to and adore is one who somehow is able to satisfy people who are incarcerated and tortured and sequestered in the deepest, darkest dungeons and prisons and lands ever. How can he be so satisfying? Because they've become very wealthy people. Because Jesus is all that they have. And I'm not saying if you have money, you can't have Jesus. It's just harder for you to have Jesus when you have money or when you have things. Can you have money, things, and Jesus? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. As long as he's first. Remember years ago, Chuck Mister was here, and he said something that's never left my mind. He said, Jesus Christ does not want to be number one on a list of 10. He wants to be number one on a list of one. That's powerful. Nothing rivals him. Verse 13, he makes an argument for assurance. He makes an argument for assurance when he says that you may know that you have eternal life. His argument is this regarding our assurance, is that you're to possess it. You are to have it in your heart. He argues for possession. Jot that one down. That's our second consideration under point two. He argues for possession. When he says that we have it, we are to be, as it were, holding it, touching it, feeling it, confirm. Jot down these three things. Number one, created by faith. What is? Our assurance. It's created by faith. Jot this verse down. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is created by the word of God and us taking it in. But note these few verses. Created by faith under this argument for assurance and for possession. Listen, Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Faith. God said it. I believe it. Well, I don't know if I feel. No, stop. Forget the feel thing. Faith. God said this. Sun up, sun down, rain, wind, day in, day out. God said this never changes. Faith. Second consideration under the faith that he's created by faith. 2 Timothy 1:11. 2 Timothy 1:11 says, to which I was appointed, Paul says, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until the day of Christ, or that day. That's the assurance you're supposed to have. Paul is not to have more assurance than you are. We are all to have this assurance. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, jot this down. We are to be confident by hope. Confident by hope. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Faith, hope. We're to be confident by hope. And it's not a hope, hope, hope. It's a hope that is. And thirdly, it's confirmed by love. Faith, hope, love. 1 John 3:19, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. It's about love. Our third consideration tonight, our third point, confidence. He says, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So verse 13 will end here. Number three, confidence is what we're to experience. The believers to experience confidence. That's what we're supposed to have. And it's not arrogance. See, a lot of people are going to say, well, you stinker, you. You think you're just going to go right into heaven, don't you? Yeah. Well, woo-hoo, look at him. Holier than thou. No, but I believe what Jesus said. Oh, so now you know the Bible, huh? They won't get it. Confident, not arrogance. arrogance, the fingers wagging, the scowl, you know, the scowl on the face, the self-righteousness, you know. No. Confidence is what we're to experience. Listen, consider this, please. Important. Confidence because he starts the work. Man, have we forgotten? I mean, think for a minute, you guys. Where were you when Jesus found you? What were you doing? How old were you? Some of you were very young. Some of you maybe, you know, later years, middle age, later on in life. Where were you? I'd love to consider that. I'd love to think about that. Remember when the woman was caught in the very act of adultery? They drug her to Jesus, and it was all the religious scribes and all that were around him. And it says that Jesus, stooping down, began to write in the dirt. And he says to them, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then it says, stooping down again, he wrote, as it were, in the sand. And it says, and they, being convicted, departed. The oldest down to the youngest. You know why the oldest one left first? Because when you're older, you have time to look back. And you look back at all of your failures, all of your mistakes, and all of your sin, and you say, oh my. And when Jesus wrote down, I'm not familiar with the Old Testament passages. It's very hard to find. I've tried, and I'm trying to remember it. If you know it, tell me later. But there's a scripture in the Old Testament where it says that God writes their sins in the dust of the earth. And Jesus begins to write, I believe, their sins in the dirt. Looked up there, and there's, you know, Hezekiah. Writes down Hezekiah's sin as of this morning, 6:05 a.m. Hezekiah ripping off his neighbor's milk from his porch. He looks over and there's Hepzibah standing there and he says, okay, Hepzibah, out behind 7-Eleven with bubbles last Friday night. And they were convicted and left. And the youngest one left last because the youngest one thinks, oh, he can't get me on anything. That arrogance. You see, the awesome thing is Jesus starts the work. We can be confident because when he starts the work, and this is what you have to do. I can't do it. Your neighbor can't do it. Your friend can't do it. You must do this. You have to ask yourself this question. Am I in the faith? Paul says, examine yourself to determine whether you be in the faith or not. Confidence because Jesus Christ starts the work. Number two, confidence because he oversees our growth. You know Philippians 1:6. I don't even have to tell you that he's faithful to complete the work that he has started. Confidence because he oversees the growth of your spiritual maturity. Thirdly, in this consideration, confidence because he completes the mission. Confidence because he's going to complete it. And you say, well, Jack, how can I be so sure? Because he made the promise. He's promised to complete the work. You can be confident because he's going to complete it. Listen, do you have a heart for God? Yes, but praise the Lord for that. I know that statement you're about to make. Yes, but it's so weak. Or yes, but I fail so miserably. I know that feeling. But do you have a heart for God? Yes. Then he's going to finish the work. He started it. He put that wanna in you. He's overseeing it right now. You're here worshiping God. And he's going to complete it. All you have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We'll end with this. Remember, when Jesus in John's gospel, it's John chapter 20, by the way, in that chapter is the story of the resurrection. It's very, very key. It's very Jewish. How so? Because when the women reported to the apostles, to the disciples, that Christ had risen, they didn't believe him. So the boys took off running, and John was faster than Peter. Peter just not that good of a runner, I guess, or John was very fast. And John outran Peter to the tomb. And John ran up to the door of the tomb and noticed that the stone had been rolled away, and there the linen cloths were lying there by themselves. And John stood in the doorway, just, and it says, then Peter, catching up to John, runs right past John. Isn't that Peter? He probably fell about 5 feet away from the door and just kind of tumbled all on into the thing, you know. Can't wait to meet him. It's going to be great. He comes flying in there, and it's Peter who notices that there's the body wrapping, and then off on the side is the linen handkerchief that wrapped up Jesus' head, folded neatly in a separate place. So what's that all about? Good question. When a carpenter was working on a project, he always had his handkerchief with him. And at the end of that day's work, he would wipe the back of his neck, starting this way from behind the left ear, back behind his neck, under his chin, up over his forehead, then back over the middle of his eyes and down, the sweat, the sawdust, the junk. Then he would lay it, drape it over the project that he's working on, and then go home. Come back in the morning, he would pick it up and fold it and put it back into his apron pocket, and he would work all day long until that day was done. Then he would wipe the back of his neck up over his forehead, back over the brow of his eyes, and then down his nose and his chin, fold it over the project and go back home. And as long as a carpenter had his handkerchief over the project, you were not allowed to touch it, you were not allowed to see it, because it was under construction. But when the project was completed, that Jewish carpenter at the day would wipe his head all around just like before, and he would take that handkerchief and fold it neatly together and place it off to the side of the bench, which announced that the project was completed. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," what do you think he meant? Stop robbing yourself. It's so finished that you can walk in his victory, in his work, in his success, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These things he has written unto us who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that believing you might continue.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from one key verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Now the title of this presentation, That You May Know. It's a study in how and why the true believer is assured of his salvation. That You May Know, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just go to your app store and download it for free. Lots of features related to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Journey, another one of our TV programs that airs on his channel. Also, Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's devotional that I truly love and that you can get in your email box. Our Wednesday night study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with just that, real life issues through the lens of Scripture. That and a whole lot more with the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. I've got it on my smartphone. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. It sure makes things convenient and easy. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. And of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.